Hey there. So this video is all about the anatomy of a question. And you're going to notice that there's going to be a lot of videos that seem to overlap on this particular subject. There's PDFs, there's also points that I make in the actual forum on Facebook. But this is something that you can hear 1,000 times in different ways, and this is the best way to absorb the information, okay? Because Oracle cards are very different than other structured systems, and I want you to understand the difference. So let's talk about how we actually create a question and how it actually works. So imagine that your question is actually a container. So the container of an idea or theme that you're looking for information about. So we look at what we call a psychic architecture of a question. And it's so important. If you notice, if you just pull cards for the sake of it, some days they're like really epiphanous. I don't know if that's a word, but I just made it up. It sounds good. You know, you get an epiphany like, oh my God, the cards fell down and this is what I saw. And other days, you don't ask a question and they are so loosey-goosey because really what they're doing is they're pinging over there and they're pinging over there and they're just giving you a hodgepodge of like, yeah, banana, apple, you know, steak. Not a whole lot of information that's going to help you. And unless you understand the nature of the narrative, you're going to be confused. And actually, there's some great examples of that in the Insiders group, the Oracle School Insiders group, for the people who really didn't know how to do this yet, who were like all panicking because of what their cards were saying because they didn't understand the fluidity of the structure of their question or how what the cards were actually talking about, right? Okay. So when we have a more fluid architectural structure, and a fluid architectural structure means this very thing. It's like we're building a boat that floats, and we're assuming that that boat is a container of what we're journeying with, but it's got to move, as opposed to building a house with a basement that stays in one place, right? So that's what I mean by fluid. What I also mean by fluid is that it's malleable, it's more movable, it means more than one thing. It's, you know, where there's a sense of, yes, it's a looser container than something that holds something in a rigid way. So I want you to consider that, like we're more fluid, the rules are more fluid here, and they change according to your question, and they change according to your mood as to how you approach the oracle in lots and lots and lots of different ways that you're going to know only by experience. I can't tell it to you, you have to go, oh, and then you're going to post it in the forum when you experience it, because I don't want you to intellectualize this. Theory doesn't work in this kind of course. Okay. So we are always looking for something when we create a question, and we are looking for a narrative because the cards tell us the story of our life from a particular vantage point, all right? So the vantage point is really important too. Like if we're standing on the top of a mountain, let me explain what vantage point means, and we are looking towards the south, our vantage point is at the top of the mountain and our vision is going south. But if we turned and went to the other side of the mountain, our vantage point has changed. Because say we're looking behind us, that means our vantage point tells us that we are looking at the past. And what creates the vantage point is everything that you know and have experienced up to that point. So from a specific vantage point, it's what you have already perceived and can know up to that point. It doesn't mean you have perceived everything, because perception changes with wisdom, knowledge, epiphanies, absorption, personal experience, direct contact. There's so many ways. You understand this because when you feel it, you're like, oh yeah, I know more now. So from this vantage point, I see different things than from the vantage point of my old self. Okay, so the new self, every time you evolve in this course, which you will, you now stand at a different vantage point. So here's another great example. If you're resentful about somebody, your vantage point is from a point of resentment plus everything you've learned, right? So that's why we talk more later about this in the course, about how your energy influences the cards. But again, the vantage point is key. From what position am I entering into this dialogue with my card deck? Okay. Now, pattern recognition is also key. Some of you, I get a kick out of this because I know what this is. So there's a couple of you that were like, keep getting the same card upright and reversed, sideways, whatever. The card will continue and you'll start to see a pattern in your journal. You'll go, wow, this one card continues to follow me. And what the best part about that is, and one of the greatest quotes from Louise Hay, because of course when we see ourselves in a pattern, we realize what we need to clean up. And she says, in order to clean your house, in order to come forward in a clean way, you have to see the dirt, right? So this is also why pattern recognition is really key. So it'll show you your shadow. It'll show you the things that need to be cleaned up in order for you to become the person that you desire to have the life that you have intended. Because we're going right back again to your initial intention about who do you want to become, and then what do I need to do to get there, and what do I need to clean up? And that's another reason why we do not judge in here. It's always, oh, well, that's interesting. I guess I haven't dealt with this issue from my past. And then we carry on. Okay, so it's really key to recognize that we are all part of unified consciousness, every one of us in here, and everything that we experience is universal and personal at the same time, and also impersonal. So we'll get the hang of it as time goes on. And that's another reason why people get super vulnerable when we talk about the anatomy of a question, because it's revealing, right? That's the other thing. The question needs to reveal something. And so the revelation itself is sometimes exciting. It's sometimes really supportive, and it's sometimes jarring because it jars us out of denial. Again, because we set something in motion at the beginning of the class, which is I have set an intention in motion. And now these cards, these communication devices, this thing that I have in spirit and me and all of these different elements are now speaking with me in order to get me in alignment with that intention. And I say those words rather than get to where you're going, because you're always going to keep going, right? So again, this idea that the question always presents a narrative in motion and always allows you to course correct if you don't like what you see. It's always available to you. Okay, so now the reason why we like an open question is that we need to allow enough room for a wider vista, right? So that's why we go to the top of the mountain, for example. We say, I need a wider vista of this. Because when we ask only from the perspective of wanting a particular answer, it really narrows the scope of what's possible. And the vocabulary and the language gets so small that you only see a sliver of something. Like asking, is this the one for me? Like a lot of people will say that, is he the one for me? Yeah, but you know what? If the cards go, oh yeah, he's your soulmate. But soulmates can kick you behind the knees so that you are so wounded, so you'll never do that again. So you want to know, right, in what context is this person the one for me? And that's why you want a wider potential of a dialogue between you and the oracle, you and spirit, right? So that's why the question needs to be a little bit more open. It needs to allow room. That's why a type of open question is, what do I need to know? What can you tell me about? That's the way I want you guys to think, not what's going to happen. Even when we say a possible outcome, the outcome is now a new vantage point, right? It always keeps going. And that's really key too for the anatomy of a question, because when you land on an outcome card, if that's what you're looking for, that outcome now becomes the next jumping off point, because it never stays. Nothing in our life remains the same. I remember learning that from my dad when he was... my dad was 50 when I was born, and he came from the old country. So he was very much the kind of, professor, you know, talking to him, to me and my sister, like we were 5 years old. He taught us about Plato. I knew about Plato before I knew about Barbie, right? So really, that's the way it was at 5 years old. Oh, you sit down and I'm going to tell you all about philosophy. And all I wanted to know was where my gerbil was, but I digress. I'm happy he did that. So the whole idea that he said to us is that, you never stop learning. The minute you stop learning, you die. And then the other thing that he taught us was that never to limit your information, always to allow for other sides of a diamond, that there's always something to learn and there's always different perceptions and perspectives. There's never just one way. And so that was something that I learned early on, to question and to see beyond what all I could see and to ask, right? So you have to be able to ask. Most of us have been conditioned not to be able to ask, that we've been told not to. This is the way it is because I said so, which was actually kind of contradictory because he used to do that too. But he was my dad. What can I tell you? So we don't want to limit the information. Now, the other thing is we want to check our motives and our bias, right? So you want to come in to ask a question And you want to ask yourself, what's my motive for asking this question? I'm going to out myself here. Okay. Like I asked my oracle, you know, what's going to happen? I didn't say what's going to happen. What can I expect from this school of mine? Well, you know, it could tell me 52 versions of what I could expect. I stopped asking. I asked twice and I realized the cards are basically saying like, hello, you made these, stop asking this. By the way, too, the oracle will give you a little tap and it will tell you, but just by the way it answers you, when you are not in alignment with a wider vista, because I was looking for a narrow answer. You're gonna be great. It's gonna be fabulous. People are gonna love it. It's gonna be wonderful. You're gonna, you know, it's like you're gonna grow this thing. You're gonna be able to have big Oracle Paloozas and da 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 da. You know what I mean? So when you don't spend enough time with yourself prior to entering into this dialogue with your Oracle, you know, you really run the risk of getting a little tap on the hand. And that's why people get confused because you're not prepared. So, and even I, who am the creator of the Oracle, have done that myself with my own need for certainty because I am a human being just like you. So I'm going to show you also what it's like not to do the right thing. So, again, if you have a bias and you want a specific answer, you're going to set up something called resistance, right? That's natural. It's in your body. So you want to do a reading on your resistance. And I actually did that too. Like what was my resistance? And it came up fear. I actually used my Avalon deck and it was all about the fact that, you know, I might be afraid that, you know, all this hard work that we put in and we literally like, threw everything in the farm into this. That, you know, that maybe it wouldn't come out like I would hoped it would. And that was really at the core of my bias. And so this is also something that when you run into these kind of things, you actually say, what do I need to know about my resistance? Because you feel resistance. No, nobody can say to me like, well, what does resistance feel like? You feel it. You feel like your throat goes like this. You don't like what the reading said. You will feel that bump up. You don't want to accept what was said. So let's summarize this because there was a lot of theory in here. So we have to have structure when we ask a question, and we need to know that before we go to the cards. Because remember, we get a complete confused idea if we don't know exactly what we're asking and what positions the cards are going to go in, which is a whole other video later. So in the anatomy of a reading, we have to have structure, and in this case, we make sure that the structure is fluid. It's not like it's stuck in the ground and it's traditional and it has to be a certain way. We follow a narrative that moves, right? So we're a story in motion. Now, when I mention the words a wider vista, what I mean is a greater perspective that you get to see or a big picture with more detail in it. So you get a chance to see more, right? More, but also have detail in there too. So it's like a big picture, a greater perspective where you get to see more. And last but not least, you want to check your bias and your motives. Why are you going to the oracle? Are you looking for a specific answer? If so, you're going to feel resistance. Then you can do a card or two or three cards on your resistance itself. You'll do a reading on your resistance. And then you'll really go deep about what it is that you're expecting the world outside of you to show you. And this way, you stay in alignment with that first intention that you started when the class began.